Who would you pick out as coaches of teams that you've played for?
It's hard to say, because I think sometimes people attach too much attention to the coach. And what I'm saying by that is, I think sometimes it's up to the players. They know what they should do. If they got to that standard, they know what they should do. They need a framework sometimes. But sometimes you've got to think for yourself. And what I think by that is, Mike Davis was a brilliant coach because he never said much. He gave us some ideas, do this, you know, you do this, and so on, and left it at that. But we captained ourselves. There was Bill captain the side, Fran captain the side, Peter Wheeler captain the side, Tony Neary captain the side, all before Bill. They all captained it before Bill. Roger Utley before Bill. In fact, Roger was injured, and Bill got it because Roger was injured. So you had so many captains in that side already, men who've been through the reek, and they know how to play, they know what they're going to do. But rugby's a funny old game. The captain says, we're going through that wall, we're going through that wall. And you follow the captain, that's it, his words sacrosanct. But you've still got to think for yourself. And I think sometimes a great coach is sometimes best to say, you know, okay, here's what we're going to do, here's what, and analyse what you've done, and look at now today with the videos, so you can see what you're doing. And say, look, you did this here, you did that here, why did you do this, we should have done this and done that. But at the end of the day, it's up to the player. They all know how to play, don't they? All know how to play. Mm. And they've got to make those decisions on the field. The coach can send an idea out, come on, you're not doing this, try this. Or you're not doing that, do that. But it's still that man out there is going to make that decision for himself in the framework of the team. So I think sometimes it's great importance. I think the best thing I ever saw happen from a coaching viewpoint of looking at what was going on in the heat of the moment, because sometimes players can heat of the moment, they can't get outside that. I was in the World Cup final, which I had the privilege of going to, when England were playing Australia. And Phil Vickery was against Bill Rogers. And the Australians didn't have a scrummage inside. And Rogers kept going down. And Andre Prevent, no, Andre was his name, the South African guy. Anyway, he kept penalising Phil. And it wasn't Phil. Mm-hmm. Bill Rogers was collapsing and he kept penalising. I see he was going to penalise him out of the game. And some in the coaching panel decided, we've got to stop this now. So they took Phil off and put Jason Leonard on. Old hand, 100-odd caps, just stand there. Don't do anything. Just stand there. And that probably won the game. Because, you know, the Australians have been kicking goals as well as we had.
Mm.
But that won the game. No more collapsed scrums. You know, end of story. So that was, I think, a great thing from a coach to do. I think in soccer they have more say in the matter. But I still think rugby, it's down, because it's so much involved here, it's down to the guys to make the decision. Because every scrum's illegal, every line-out nearly is illegal. Certainly on the ground is illegal. It's what you can get away with, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you see guys running blocks and everything else. Well, they're subtle sometimes. They say, oh, the Irish have been cheating and so on. Well, no more than anyone else does. But they've been got away with it better. And that's it's getting that fine line between what's the referee will allow and what he won't allow. So therefore, it has to come down to players.
Yeah.
It has to come down to players. You've got to play the referee, no matter who you're playing. You've got to play the referee. And if that's what he sees as right, that's what he sees as right. And so I think coaches, it's hard to say, really. I think sometimes great players don't make great coaches. I don't think that's always the case. Graham Henry proved his worth with New Zealand, doesn't he? He didn't. He had a good shake-up with Wales, but they got disappointed with him, but they won 14 on the trot. And Steve Hansen, you know, and everybody else and so on. And coaches can pick players because they can see a player can do a thing. A coach is like, he can't change what they're doing out there, but he can see, okay, that player does this, and players revert to type. When they're under pressure, they revert to type. That's what they always do. That's because they're surviving on, you know, I've just got to survive and just do what they normally do.
Yeah.
And it's then the coach saying, well, hang on a minute, this guy does this all the time, and changing it. You know, but yes, Gloucester produced a few over the years, a few players over the years, John Orwin, Steve Boyle, certainly the great Mike Teague, Sarge got on, Millsy, Peter Butler, Peter Kingston, Chris Williams. There's been a few.
Yeah.
Gordon Sargent actually got on for his one cap when you went off injured.
That's right, they wouldn't let me back on. Yeah. Who was there? No one was there. The Irish doctor wouldn't let me back on. I wanted to come on. I got hit in the back of the neck. Wouldn't let me on. And so Smarty and he, Sarge was on the bench. And it's Rob Andrews' first year, his first international.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I remember that. And literally, I came off and they wouldn't let me go back on. No, you're going to neck and you're going to go back on. And as soon as I came off, Sarge came on there. It's mayhem out there. And Ray McLaughlin, the Irish prop, came to see me after. He said, I couldn't believe one man can make a difference to a side. Well, nobody realised what a tight head does till he's not there. You know, you ask successful sides and everything else inside, they've all had a successful tight head, a good tight head. He just steadies the ship down. Because what enables the back row to play, everyone to play. But if he's moving around and going backwards, you've got no chance. Mind you, it does help me get a loose head stands up as well. Mm. You need the unit. That's what I said about how great players, but you still need a good unit with you. No matter who you are, what you are not King Kong on your own. You need a good unit.
Mm.
And looking at Gloucester, I was very lucky to play with a lot of very good players over the years. Guys, you know, people probably never heard of. Who were in the second team, came to the first team, played a few games from the second team, first team, but guys who could have slotted in anywhere and did. Well, Mike Longstaff was a great player for Gloucester. I think one of the best club back rows the club ever had. He, John Gallen, Mike Teague. And Wagger played scrum half, outside half, centre, full back, anywhere, but in the back row. And ended up playing back row.
Yeah.
And because he had great hands, great linking ability, and he could kick a ball, you know. And he was not exactly a small player. You know, he was quite a big man.
Yeah.
And so it was a great back row. He was very quick, you know. And with Ian Gaddy and Teague, he was a tremendous back row. He used to look up, oh, that's where we're going that way, that'll do. And Teague said it was great, he said, because he used to sit on the back row, not do much pushing, look up, because you lot could do the job, and get off and run. No, none. So, you know, a lot of fun.
Yeah, Gloucester were a great side, weren't they? About around that time.
Oh yeah, we were very
terrific
lucky.
Record.
Yeah.
When Longstaff and
yeah, we were a successful side. I think we had 60 odd games. I don't think we lost about three. I think.
Mm.
One was to Cambridge University away. Remember that? We went there because a lot of our lads were working and everything else and so on. If they weren't working, they didn't get paid. And bloody and play the bloody students, you know. And then we get there, and there was a chap, always used to suspect referees who got boots cleaner than they think about the makers, a lovely suntan, coiffured hair, pristine white shorts with a crease down the front. Oh dear. And we got out, I think we must have given how many penalties away in the game, you would not believe. We had a penalty given to us on their line, some of us said we ended up with a penalty on our line. And Alex Rose was playing for Cambridge University then, and he kicked everything, and he got England career out of it. And, oh, we lost it. You couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. I thought if ever a side had lost it, we lost it when we got on the coach, the attitude, and the attitude on the field.
Yeah.
And if ever attitude wins games, loses games, that was it. You know, it really was. And we lost in a cup game. We went to play Southend, a John mm-hmm. Player Cup down
oh,
there.
Yeah, that season, yeah.
And we went down there. Where's Southend? It's a petrochemical station somewhere in the country. And we went down there, and they had a lot of old boys who'd been around the Wrekin. They played a lot of good sides, and they'd all turned up there, they're all working down there. And we got out there, and the referee didn't like the way we played, and he kept penalising us out of the game. And I think we won, again, 9-8 or something silly. We were lucky to get away with that one. And we had a lot of good players, a lot of current internationals, all county players. And Fred, I forget the referee's name now, but he knew the laws, definitely he knew the laws, and he was going to read them to us. Even had me for ungentlemanly conduct. Putting pressure on their hooker and everything else and so on. And I they put the ball and I hooked it. Penalty against you. What's that for? Ungentlemanly conduct. You shouldn't have done that. What do you mean you shouldn't have done it? He's flapping, I can do it. But hands on the scrum when the ball comes in. He said, not binding. I said, hang on a minute. I said, he's not binding either. He doesn't say, penalty, 10 yards. Oh dear me. I'll never forget that. That was a lesson.
Are there any other matches you want to talk about, John?
There was one match that springs to mind you played in your last season, and that was the international against Romania, because it was the first match of a whole batch of new England players.
That's right,
I think
yeah.
Rory Underwood, Andrew... Wade Dooley and John Orwin, I think, all made their debuts in that game.
Yeah,
I wonder what impressions you had of that match and of all the young players who were coming in that match.
Well, I remember Wade, he was sort of huge, great man. Huge, great man. He was a big, big, powerful man. And he hadn't played for anyone particularly. He played for Preston Grasshoppers. And where's Preston Grasshoppers? You know, it's Preston, there must be some rough by Liverpool somewhere, you know. Any rate, Dick Greenwood, Will Greenwood's father, had obviously seen this giant and realised this man could play. Anyway, so he got him playing. He played for England, playing the second row. And it was his first game and everything else and so on. Anyway, we got clattered and everything else because Romania's just beaten France. They were good in those days. They'd just beaten France. So they were, you know, they were pretty handy. And anyway, we're on the floor and everything else and so on. In those days, they wait if you'd get the line-outs. Nowadays, you don't. They play on unless you're dead, don't they? And I said, he stuck it way to get down. I said, it's our line-out. They'll wait for us to get there. We'll walk. Let's play when we want to play. And we got there, everything else inside it. We won. Everything else. Anyway, the next game we're playing, next home game, we're playing against France. And France came out, and everything else and so on. Quite a physical side, France. And the war broke out, and everything else and so on. And Wade said, come on, I can sit. Wade, I think I've got enough problems with my own fella. You have to sort your own men out. You know, in Romania, it was quite easy to do, but not with these fellas. It was one on one. It was enough. And anyway, and I played with him in Ireland, and that was my sort of career over, really. I came off against Ireland and played again. Mm. And then he went on, and he had a fantastic career for England and the Lions and everything else and so on. He was a man monster. He really was a man monster. Well, 50-odd caps for his country, and I don't think anyone like played against him. He was a big, big man.
Yeah.
You know, he was sort of the Martin Johnson of his era, really, and more so, really, in that respect. He was just a huge giant of a man. He really was very fit, very physical, and he played some great games for England. He played them well. I think probably the purple patch since the wars for England, really. There wasn't many they lost.
Yeah.
Wade Dooley and Paul Ackford.
Yeah.
Were renowned.
England. And the third policeman, Dean Richards, behind.
Oh, absolutely. Dino was another one, didn't he? He was a fantastic player.
Yeah.
Fantastic player. He really was. And I knew about him when Peter Wheeler was playing at Leicester. He said, "We got this kid in training." He said, "He's unbelievable." He said, "You can kick him to death. He doesn't smile and just gets off the floor." He's a great player. And I knew about another chap who played for Scotland, in fact, who I met with Mike Teague this last winter, David Soule. And I heard about him, and they said, "This bloke can run like the wind." I said, "He's a front row forward." "Yeah, he trains with the backs." And I found out on the Lions tour, when they went on the 89 Lions tour, he trained with the backs. He was too fast for the forwards. He trained in the backs. Unbelievable player.
Yeah.
The pace he had, and also he could mix it too. He was a powerful man. Well, you don't, Scotland, you know, they won the Grand Slam and he won a successful Lions tour, so that'll say all about him, really.
Yeah,
heck of a nice guy, real nice fella.
And what a force he was in club rugby too, wasn't
oh
he?
Yeah, definitely played for Bath in how many years, you know. And no, he was a real nice fella as well. Yeah, he's a nice guy.